but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word and the preaching of your word. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in this thy law. Amen. Please be seated. About 3 years ago, in the month of November, I sat in this room on an evening and interviewed with the vestry, that's the board, or the people that are have financial responsibility for this church, for the position of rector or lead pastor. And after they had the interview, they then asked me a question. They said, "Do you have any questions of us?" And I said, "Yes, were I to become your rector, are there any surprises I should be aware of?" They said, "Oh no, you're fine." But this is a beautiful church, and this church, as you can tell, it's a little bit more modern than other churches. It might be traditional investments and whatnot, but it's only about 40 years old. In fact, I have a picture in my office of a rather young Father John Liebler, who is now a little bit older. But 40 years ago, he was young and had a full head of hair, and he had a shovel, and he took the first kind of scoop of dirt, and this would then become the parish of St. Peter the Fisherman. And he laid a foundation with 25 signatories to start a parish here on the beach side of New Smyrna Beach, building strong foundations. And you see, Jesus is talking to the people in Jerusalem about strong foundations. They're looking at a temple that took well over 70 years to build. And Herod was this architect of rebuilding the second temple there. And as they're looking at these beautiful ornate stones and everyone's gazing at them, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, that not a stone will remain upon a stone, but all will be thrown down." So Jesus is telling us three things about foundations. First of all, what is your foundation? Second of all, will it survive a shaking? And then thirdly, there is an unshakable foundation. So, like I said, I interviewed here and I said, "Is there any surprises?" "No, don't worry about that." That was November. So February of 2023, someone from the board came out to me and said, "Do you smell that down the hallway where the nursery is and where the bathrooms are?" I was like, "Yes, I'm rather aware of that." We discovered that our bathrooms weren't working that well. Well, you see, Jesus tells this story. It's a parable of a wise man. He says, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house in New Smyrna Beach. You see, you can build your foundation on the rock, and when the storms of life come, it's fine. But if you build on the sand, you better have a pretty good foundation. We did lay a decent foundation, but what happened was before they put the foundation in, they decided to dig a trench and put in the plumbing in the sand, not on something immovable, but sand. And if you've at all lived in Florida a little bit, you know what happens when we get our torrential downpours. Those sands can shift. Well, what happened? That 40-foot run of pipe moved, shifted, and it became bowed. It no longer had that drop it was supposed to have. So if you use the bathroom just a little bit too much, you know exactly what was going to happen. So we had to dig underneath the foundation, cut out the plumbing, put in a whole new drainage system for the bathrooms on that side of the building. But unshakable foundations. You see, Jesus was standing in Jerusalem looking at the temple. Jerusalem was the seat of religious power for Israel. It was the seat of political power for Israel. Not half a mile away from there was the Praetorium, which is the quarters of Pontius Pilate. It was also the seat of commerce. People came there to trade in all of Judea and all of Israel. In America, we don't really have that. We don't have one sort of capital for the whole country. If you're talking about political power, well, that's D.C. But if you're talking about financial power, you're thinking New York or Wall Street. If you're thinking cultural power, well, where's the seat of that? You're thinking L.A., you're thinking Hollywood. But, you know, London's a place that has all of those. U.S., not so much. But Jerusalem was a lot more like London. It was a seat of political power. It was a seat of the seat of creative power and learning. It was a seat of financial power. And everyone had put their hope and trust in this place called Jerusalem, this physical location. And what Jesus asks is, what have we put our faith and trust in? You see, Job 31:24 says this, "If I had made gold my trust or called fine gold my confidence, I'd be in trouble. Or Psalm 20 says, some trust in princes, but I put my trust in God. In Judges 7, it says that, you know, God is talking to Gideon. He says, look, I'm going to save you, because if I don't save you and you win this battle without my help, you're going to say, my own hand has delivered me today. What is the foundation that you have put the weight of your being in, the totality of your being? And the thing is, you can say, well, I trust in God and he's my foundation. But for other things, you know, okay, well, I got to trust more in this. I'm going to trust more in that. Maybe it's your 401k. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's anything in creation aside from the Creator. What do you put your trust in? Do you put it in political power, financial power? Do you place your trust in your own wit, in your own creativity? But see, here's the thing. Jesus says we all have a foundation. We have to figure out what that foundation is, and will it withstand the storms of life? Secondly, he says there's a shaking. There's a shaking that's going to happen. 40 years after Jesus uttered these words, General Titus Vespasian would come in and raise Jerusalem, and not one stone would be left upon another. If you build your life on political power, financial power, religious power, if you build it on family or even on your own health, it's going to be shaken. Let me illustrate this for you. I remember when I was working in England in 2007, and I'd walk to work, and I'd walk down the high street there in Oxford, and one day I saw a line of pensioners, people who'd saved up all their pennies and put it into this bank, and they were lined up four whole blocks down the high street into this place called Northern Rock. Rocks, they're supposed to be solid. Well, do you know what Northern Rock did? They took a lot of their money, and they didn't really diversify their banking portfolio, and they put it into real estate and construction. And as many of you know, what happened in 2007, not just in the UK, not just in Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, Spain, or Florida and California, the housing crisis happened. And GDPs lost large percentages within minutes. All these people lined up to get their money out of Northern Rock, and Northern Rock was no longer that financial rock that they thought would be. What do you put your trust and confidence in? Maybe you put it in your health. Well, can I let you guys into a little secret? There are a bunch of different minority groups out there, but I'm going to guarantee you there's one minority group that you will join at one point of your life. At one point of your life, you are going to become disabled. You're going to need a walker. You're going to need a disabled ramp. You're going to need a cane, or you're going to need glasses. It's just life. Your health will go away at one point. If you build your whole life upon being young and strong and beautiful and able, when that goes away, what are you going to be left with? Will it survive shaking? Will your finances survive shaking? Well, here's another one for you, and I don't normally talk politics, but I'll do this. When your particular political party wins or loses, you either feel really, really great or you're dejected. And how come every 4 years we're always told this is the most important election ever and democracy is going to die? And we were told that in 2016, we were told that in 2020, we were told that in 2024. And, you know, it didn't matter which side won, because, you know, 43% of the nation was happy, 42% of the nation was unhappy. And then we went around dejected because we built our whole lives on these messianic figures. But what did Jesus say? When everything's shaken, someone's going to come and they're going to say, I am he. Now is the time. I'm going to deliver you a firm foundation. And that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Don't build your life on empty foundations that won't survive a shaking. Hebrews 12:26 says this, yet once more will I shake not only the earth, but the heavens. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, why is it that God says yet once more? That's to indicate the removable of all things that can be shaken. That is, the things that have been made, in order the things that cannot be shaken may remain. If you're putting your trust, the weight of your being in something created, rather than the Creator, it will not survive a shaking. Put your trust in something unshakable. So that leads me to my third and final point, something unshakable. You see, the people of Jerusalem put their trust in this city, whether it was for political power or economic power or for religious power or for whatever thing you want to think of. What they did was they exchanged worship of the Creator for created things, like it says in Romans 1:25. Worshiping anything other than the Creator will leave you on shaky ground. There was a novelist by the name of David Foster Wallace. I'm not sure if you've ever read any of his novels, but he gave a commencement address in 2005 at Kenyon College. And this is what he said in his commencement address. Here's something that's true. In the day-to-day trenches of life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There's no such thing as not worshiping. And an outstanding reason for you choosing some sort of God or a spiritual type thing to worship, be it JC, Allah, be it Yahweh, or the Wiccan mother goddess, or the Four Noble Truths, or some infrangible set of ethical principles, is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you'll never have enough. Never feel you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your own body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you. Worship power. You will feel weak and afraid, and you'll need even more power over others to keep that fear at bay. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, and you'll end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. Now, he gave this commencement address in 2005. Amazing insight that David Foster Wallace had. Then, on September 19th of 2008, 3 years after he gave this speech, he took his own life. We don't know what got him, but it was almost prophetic. Worshiping anything other than the Creator will pretty much eat you alive, he said. You have to figure out who the Creator is. Only the Creator can answer questions about you. And let me give you a psychological definition of what idolatry is. Idolatry is asking anything in creation to answer questions about you the Creator has already answered. I'll say that again. Asking anything in creation to answer questions about you the Creator has already answered. Am I loved? Am I accepted? Am I valuable? Am I safe? And no other being in the universe can answer those questions for you. No other created thing, only the Creator himself. Only something that is more solid than the very chair you're sitting on. Let me offer you something more solid. In fact, let me just point you to John chapter 20. And we read the story of a man who hung on a cross and was put in a grave, and his lifeless body lay there. And then there in verses 6 and 8 of John 20, just as his resurrection body passed through those grave clothes, later on in verses 18 and 19, that same body would just simply pass through locked doors and materialize before his disciples. Something more solid than what you and I actually feel, touch, see. You see, the reason why Jesus went through those grave clothes and went through walls isn't because he was less solid or a spirit or a vapor, but it's more like, well, it's been cold the last few days, but the mist that you see when you're driving down the road here in Florida, that mist that your hand can cut through because your hand is more solid than the mist, that is the solidity, the true unshakable foundation, Jesus Christ, his promise of eternal love, that nothing can separate you from his love, and that even death doesn't get the last word. I tell you that stone upon stone will not remain, but not a single hair of your head will be shaken. So, Lord, we thank you that in Jesus, you have made unshakable promises to us. And Lord, where we have built our foundation on things that can be shaken, Lord, convict us, challenge us, change us. Lord, help us to put our trust and confidence in the only thing that cannot be shaken, the promise of your love and the truth of your resurrection. We ask this all in Jesus' strong name. Amen.